Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, January 1st. On Saturday, November 7th, much of the New York area erupted in sound, this time because in this part of the country that tended to be horrified by Donald Trump, there came a spontaneous, joyous noise when the networks and the Associated Press had counted enough votes to have enough math to declare Joe Biden the winner of the presidential election. Joe Biden won 61% of the vote in New York State, 57% in New Jersey, and the blue Northeast erupted there, largely in relief. But democracy was seriously challenged in 2020 nonetheless. Donald Trump is claiming he really won in a landslide, and he's got about 70% of Republican voters believing him, according to recent polls. And so, listeners, leave someone in 2030 a message about democracy in 2020 and what your hopes or fears are for where our democracy will be by then. And here to help us do that is none other than the co-host and managing editor of On the Media, our own Brooke Gladstone. Hi, Brooke. Happy 2021.
You too, Brian.
So how did you cover on your show the difference between tracking how the election was going and tracking what was happening to democracy itself?
Well, we didn't focus too much on how the election was going for a couple of reasons. For one thing, the zone was really flooded there. I mean, we talked about the various election narratives, but they hadn't changed very much from what we'd covered in the previous 3 years, although they certainly escalated in sound and fury. Our brief was basically to track the competing narratives, what they were and how they were fed out into the system. It was a time to learn, really, that what seemed extraordinary, once you put it into context, wasn't in fact unique. Certainly our reactions as a people weren't, whether you're talking about pandemics and looking back over centuries of pandemics past, the same kind of paranoia, the same kind of confusion. You think that we get smarter as a civilization, and we do, but when it comes to existential threats, we can regress really fast.
Now, your show is about many things, but its centerpiece, obviously, as it's called On the Media, is explicitly about the media. How much do you think the big partisan divide, all this polarization that was increasing in the U.S. for decades leading up to 2020, media-driven, like by the changing media technology over time, how much was it? Like from hundreds of channels of cable TV sprouting in the 80s and 90s, starting to drive people into different bubbles and echo chambers, and then the internet and social media pouring gasoline on that particular fire?
It's really fascinating because, again, if you take the 10,000-mile view, you can see that really the centralization that we had in the mid-20th century was the aberration, that the splintered, fractured media was the rule. I mean, the difference was the technology, that our bubbles could be almost impermeable. But generally, what we had is an era where the spaces where we communicated were again unregulated, as they were in the newspaper age, didn't need the government's approval, and it didn't take huge numbers of people to your site, or to, just as it didn't to your newspaper, in order to make enough profit to live on. back in the days of TV when things got centralized, it was because partly it was such an expensive medium. In terms of the sort of splitting and the nature of the social media business is much more precise than newspapers were, or even any former medium, in that it leverages through algorithms the production of dopamine and other emotion-driven, it's just impossible to escape this kind of soul-sucking chamber unless you actively switch it off.
Stephen Park Slope is calling with a question for 2030, I think. Hi, Steve. You're on WNYC.
Yes, hi. I think especially near the end of 2020, President Trump and the Republican Party virtually deliberately degraded the presidency and democracy. So my question for 2030 is, what have you done to restore that, or I hope, maintain it?
That's a great question for 2030.
What has who done? You mean the government?
Yeah, he's going to ask. I think he's, and Steve's gone, but he's, I think he's asking all the people. I think he's asking society after these lessons of 2020.
I think that the biggest lesson of 2020 is how we are unable to retreat back into our complacency and pretend that we didn't see everything that was wrong, the deep cracks in our society, racially, economically, and certainly politically. One thing that became eminently clear, it was in the mouth of the president and the mouth of many Republican politicians, was they were brazen and clear confessions that having a robust electorate, increasing voter participation in the process, would hurt the GOP. And we like to talk about how 70% of the GOP, stands in lockstep with Trump in disparaging our electoral process. And that may be true, but there's one third of the country, roughly, I think, maybe between, 30 and 40% are Republican. So it still is an express minority, a party that really cannot win if it encouraged voter turnout.
And yet in 2020, Republicans won so many state legislatures that they will get to gerrymander the districts in so many states again. So hello, 2030. One question I have for you will be, did the popular vote reflect the actual makeup of Congress? Once we get to your year, let's get one in here, one more in here before we have to break for the top of the hour at the halfway point. Jason in Greenpoint, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Brian. First time caller, long time listener.
Great. What do you want 2030
to
know?
I work at the farmers market at Grand Army Plaza, so I kind of saw the whole scene unfold on election day. And it was this great celebration, but it was also this immense sense of relief.
And just to be clear, you don't really mean on Election Day. You mean on that Saturday, November 7th, 4 days later, when the election was called by the media for Biden?
Yes. And that it was just such, it was a party, but it was full of that relief. You know, the joy came from the fact that this would be over. And as you know, we weren't, for me personally, I wasn't celebrating that Biden would be our president, and seeing, you know, some of the cabinet that's coming in being worried about that. But my message to 2030 would be that for a brief moment, we had this taste of real democracy, and it is going to take so much more to create real change in the future.
Jason, thank you very much. So, Brooke, I hate to put
the... I have
the,
a quick question for 2040.
Go. We,
for
2040? 2030? We have 30 seconds. Go.
2030. Okay. By 2040, it's predicted that 70% of the country will live in 15 states. That means 70% will be represented by only 30 senators. I'm asking in 2030, what are they going to do to prevent that in 2040, will we still be saddled with the Electoral College?
Brooke Gladstone, co-host and managing editor of On the Media, will be listening to you every weekend.
And I to you every day, Brian. Bye.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.